Our scripture reading for this morning is most of the book of Philemon. Now you're wondering where that is. It is in the New Testament. And I will talk a bit about what's going on with this particular story. And so here, this letter of Paul to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may be effective when you perceive all the good that we do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty. Yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your good deed might be voluntary and might not be something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about you owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. So you're probably wondering what this letter is about. Well, let's think about this. But I want to start by telling you a story about my grandfather, my father's father, who was a Universalist minister in mostly in Massachusetts during the Great Depression. He's long dead. He would be, oh goodness, at least 120 or so if he were alive now. And at one point, and I'm not sure exactly where this was, my father told me this story about him. He had a parishioner during the Depression who was a clerk at a department store in the town where they lived. And those of you who remember the Depression, I'm sure probably a number of you do in one level or another, at least as a child, if not as an adult, you remember what that was like. At some point, it was close to 20%, 25% unemployment, and it was a very difficult time. And people who had a job were very fortunate, and they knew it. Well, things were tight for her, and so she began to take a little bit of money out of the cash drawer occasionally, and you can imagine where that went. Well, at one point or another, the owner of the store realized what was going on. And so in desperation, she went to see my grandfather. to see, just to talk and confess what she had done and to see how could things be resolved. Well, he listened to her story, and the next day went to visit the owner of the store and asked him if he would consider keeping her on, but also as a condition, she would repay the money that she had taken. I don't know how much it was. It probably wasn't much by today's standards, but back then it would have been probably quite a bit. Reluctantly, he agreed. The woman kept her job, and she made arrangements with her boss to have so much taken out of her pay every week or every month or however she was paid. And they were reconciled. But it took somebody else acting as an agent of reconciliation to make this happen. And at a time when nobody who had a job could afford to lose it, she had a lot on the line. More than once in his letters, Paul refers to us, the church, each one of us, as ambassadors of reconciliation. I love that phrase, and you'll hear me use it often. Ambassadors of reconciliation. Part of what we are called to do as Christians, every one of us, not just me, but every one of us, to help bring about reconciliation when and where it is needed. And we all know how easy it is for things to fall apart in any kind of a relationship, a friendship, a marriage, relationship between a parent and a child. We know how easy it is, and how easy it is for things to build up and build up to the point where you don't know what to do. Well, the situation that we have written about in this letter today from Paul is, in a sense, is such a situation. Now, this letter that Paul wrote to Philemon is kind of an oddity. It's one of the shortest books in the New Testament. I think 2nd and 3rd John are probably a little bit shorter, but this is one of the shortest books in the New Testament and certainly in all of the Bible. Now, the New Testament as it's arranged now has, after the Gospels, the book of Acts, and then a large collection of Paul's letters, some of which are now believed to have not been written by Paul, but written by disciples of Paul. And at the very end comes this little letter. I think sometimes when I look at this collection and see Philemon at the very end, after all these grand letters like Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians and these large, complicated letters that are really theological treatises, to have this little one picking up the rear. But it's a gem because it's about relationships in Christ. So that's what I want to think about. So here's what Paul is doing in this letter is he's reminding Philemon that he prays for him. He is thankful for his love for the saints and for his faith in Christ. And you can almost see him buttering up and getting to the main point of the letter. And he's thankful that Philemon has been so helpful in his ministry. But there's something I need to ask of you. In fact, he says, I'm not asking you to do this. I'm urging you, commanding you. What's your first thought when somebody says, you're going to do this? No. Nope. Paul obviously had a very close relationship with Philemon. We don't know anything except what's in this letter. We don't know anything at all. So whatever that relationship was, he obviously worked with Paul at some point. But there was this one thing he needed to work on. And that was his relationship with his slave, Onesimus. Now, we know that Paul was in and out of prison a couple of times toward the end of his life. Paul was another one of those people, along with Jesus, who had a tendency to simply open his mouth and say whatever was on his mind. And he certainly did that more than once. And my guess is that he probably really didn't care who he offended. So, Paul got himself into trouble, preaching in places that people thought he shouldn't be preaching in. And there he was in prison. We don't know what happened with Onesimus. It's possible that he had stolen something from Philemon and went to flee to Paul for sanctuary. But what had happened during the time, and we have no idea how long this was, that Onesimus was with Paul when he was in prison. But he was converted to the Christian faith during his time that he was with Paul. So now Paul has found him to be a great helper. It's possible that Onesimus was a teacher, a tutor for Philemon's children. That was not an unusual thing. He may have actually been a scribe or a secretary of sorts for Paul. There's all kinds of speculation about why it is that Paul makes a big deal about writing something in his own hand. I mean, you might think that may not be a big deal. But back then it was not unusual for people to, especially people with some money and influence, to have a person that acted as a secretary. There's a lot of speculation that Paul had really bad eyesight. And there's another letter, I can't remember which one offhand, where he says, "You see, I'm writing this with my own hand in really big letters." So who knows? Whatever Onesimus was doing, and it was probably something like that, he was a great help to Paul. Paul probably had known Onesimus when he was still with Philemon. Again, we don't know. You would assume so. But what Paul had found was that his relationship with Onesimus was no longer as Onesimus being the slave of his friend and co-worker, but now an equal, a brother in Christ. And Onesimus had been with Paul for long enough that he had absorbed much of the faith and had been changed. And so Paul's appeal to Onesimus is to look at him, or to Philemon rather, is to look at him, to look at Onesimus in a different way. Now, it's important to think about what slavery was like in the ancient world. We all have a picture of slavery in our mind, back to the horrific legacy that this country has of slavery that was based on race. But slavery in the ancient world was quite different than slavery as we experienced, or our ancestors experienced in this country. Slavery was not based on race. In part, now in the Greco-Roman world, if you weren't Greek or Roman and weren't civilized, you were considered a barbarian. And so anybody that wasn't Greek or Roman by birth and educated in all the various things that you were educated in, then you were considered sort of second class. And that could be anybody, didn't matter where you were from. People were enslaved for a number of reasons. They were enslaved because they had debts that they couldn't pay. And so they might be put into slavery so that their debt could be paid off. Think about that with credit card debt. I mean, where would we be now? You know, if you had a balance that you couldn't pay, you just didn't call one of those 1-800 numbers on television, right? No. You became a slave until that debt was paid off. Or you might be a prisoner of war. Very common thing. prisoners of war were made into slaves. And that's actually something that's happened in our world a number of times in the recent past. So there's a variety of reasons why a person would be a slave. And slavery was not seen as a lifetime condition necessarily. If you could be freed, it was a very common thing for masters to free their slaves for whatever reason. If the debt had been paid, if they had developed such a close relationship and had gotten to the point in their own personal development that they could be off on their own and maybe even own slaves on their own, then they could be freed. It could be in gratitude. Sometimes when a person died, they would have their slaves freed in their will. There's a variety of reasons why a person would be freed. So it was not out of the question for Paul to be talking to Philemon this way. But the interesting thing is he doesn't say you need to free him from bondage. Here's one of the things that reminds us that the Bible is a collection of writings that were written in its own context. Paul takes slavery for granted. We know, even though, and make no mistake, slavery still exists in this world in a number of different contexts. We know that it's wrong. It's just instinctively wrong. But in Paul's time, everybody took it for granted. There were slaves everywhere. But what he does is he takes this image of a slave and he builds it into our understanding of what it is to be a Christian. Not a slave in a negative way, but a slave as in one who is bound to Christ. But what happens when we are bound to Christ in that way is that we transcend everything that conditions our lives. And here's where we get to Paul's relationship, to Philemon's relationship, rather, with Onesimus. Onesimus, Paul says, has become my son. I am very close to him, Paul says. He has served me well and has served Christ well. And now I'm sending him back to you, a different person. What Paul talks about often is how in Christ we transcend all the various things that would divide us. There's no longer Jew nor Greek, Jew or Gentile. Paul himself was a Jew. There's no longer slave nor free, male nor female. And you could add to that list, if you want, all the various things that divide us, barriers that exist and we just take them for granted, barriers that we create ourselves between us and somebody else. All of those barriers, Paul tells us, are broken down. They're all broken down. They no longer have strength or validity. And so he's telling Philemon, when you welcome Onesimus back, he's not just the same old slave that stole from you or did whatever he did. He's now your brother in Christ. We have no idea what happened when Onesimus went back. The only hint is that there is a tradition in the late first, early second century, that there was a bishop whose name was Onesimus. That's all we know. Is this the same one? I have no idea how common a name that was in that part of the world. Did Philemon welcome Onesimus with letter in hand and free him as a slave? Did he whip him and tell him to go back out into the field to start plowing? We don't know. But Paul seems to have known both of these men well enough to be able to appeal to their higher nature and tell them that all the things that have made your relationship an unequal one are now gone. Think of all the divisions and barriers that we have in our world today. All the barriers that we create between one another, and there are plenty of them. What we are called to do is to be ambassadors of reconciliation, to help build and strengthen relationships. And it starts with the relationships we have with one another. We are all sisters and brothers in Christ. There are no divisions. No one is more important or more special than anybody else. We are all sisters and brothers in Christ, part of the one body to which we are called. That's a freeing thing, to think that all the things that might divide us in the world, in Christ, do not divide us at all. Think what you can do in your own context to be an ambassador of reconciliation. This is what we are called to do as our mission in Christ. Amen.